We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give honor to your name. Oh Lord, honor to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We give honor to your name. Oh Lord, honor to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord that keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand, upon thy right hand. For the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. My help, my help, my help, all of my help cometh from the Lord. My help, my help, my help, all of my help cometh from the Lord.
Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. Father, we want to see your hand move in our lives. We want to have our faith and our discernment and our wisdom blessed so that when the day comes for us to flee or even share with a magistrate, we will have the courage to do it where you are glorified, you know, to follow your lead and have the courage to do it, even if it means to leave our homes and all that we hold dear. We thank you for that courage. Thank you for blessing our desire to open up your word, too, each and every day, to study it, so that we can be ready, because we understand that faith does come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We lift up all those that are on our prayer list, Father, especially those that we mentioned last night, and the woman that had a stroke and the man that's seeking a positive diagnosis. We lift them all up, Father, and we know that your hand is upon them and your will is going to be done. Father, there are many that are on our prayer list that aren't ready. None of us are ready, in fact. And so bless our faith, our discernment, and our wisdom, and give us that latter rain that we need. We want to go forth. Here we are, Lord. Send us. And bless our efforts so that many more souls can come to the saving knowledge of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. One quick announcement before I start. The singing thing, I don't want to, you know, and I know no one's going to be offended because no one knows, you know. If you don't know something was a problem, then you're not, you know, if our Father's not going to have an issue with it, we don't either. So, you know, so don't worry. Like, it's, we've had songs in the past, many times in the past, that we thought were beautiful, and then we find out that they're, you know, I just got an email the other day, as a matter of fact. Someone sent me a song, and a beautiful song, but it was sung by the Celtic woman, you know, one of those Celtic women, and, you know, that's pagan. And, yeah, they sing about Christ and all Holy Night and all this Christmas stuff, but they're not singing about the Christ of the Bible. And so all we're, you know, just so that we can clarify things from now on, if someone wants to sing, we just need to know where the song is from, who sang it, you know, and, you know, or who wrote it, you know. And so that's all. Just a little, you know, reminder, because we kind of like forgot about that. We used to do, that's how we always did it, always, for years in this chat room. And then the last few months we have just been forgetting to do that. So, you know, if you want to sing, out of, you know, praise the Lord, and just let us know what you want to sing. So, all right, okay. And there was something else that I think I was going to mention, but nah, I guess I didn't. I forget. Anyway, as many of you know, I was planning on doing Daniel chapter 8 this Sabbath, and but something happened the other day that forced me to sidestep the series for a week. After all, like I was saying last night, what good is it to study prophecy if we don't study its present day fulfillments as well. So on May 16th, I was sent an email from a brother in Christ that contained a link to a video that I know most of you, if you haven't already seen it, because I had Bonnie mail it out to just about everybody that we know about. I know that you would be interested in seeing it. Hold on, let me turn on the fan above me. Okay, such a beautiful day. I should have just opened up the windows. But, just getting used to the fact that it's nice weather. We've had winter for so long this year. But anyway, in regards to the video, I posted immediately on the videos of interest section of the main page. It has to do with a Jewish woman by the name of Judith Shulevitz. I'm probably saying that wrong, but she's the author of the book, and the book is titled The Sabbath World. Now, if you haven't seen the video, I have the original video I posted and a new one I posted a while ago from a CNN interview that she did on my Sabbath Attack page, too. So it's a little easier to find it there. Or just those, I put it here, box number one. There's those two videos. If you just, those are links. If you float over them, they're clickable. But, of course, don't do it now. Yeah, they're just short videos. I think 10 minutes tops on one of them. So, anyway, in the first video, Judith Shulevitz was interviewed by Stephen Colbert, a comedian of sorts that lampoons political movements in the world on TV. And I have no doubt in my mind this was a strategic move of Antichrist, as this television broadcast is very popular with the young people because of the way it brings important issues to the forefront for many people that would not ordinarily care to hear of it, thanks to the comical way in which he presents it. While at the same time, he makes light of certain situations and events to lessen the blow and keep the people at ease. But don't think for a minute that what he represents and presents is fictional or simple comic fodder for his TV show. The topics shared are very real and always taken from deliberately singled out news reports. His comical way of presenting it is what makes his show so unique and quite interesting and entertaining for most. No, I don't watch him if I don't have cable TV. Besides, I have better things to do with my time these days, but I do know of his methods and how effective they can be because he does on occasion pop up on the news sites where I search for daily news articles for the website. So, and he's a spinoff from this John guy. He was a comedian and he had political humor and then he's got his own show. John Stewart, yeah. He too shows up in the news every now and then. And it's making fun of the news, but it's all, I mean, even the politicians have a problem with him sometimes because they say things that really, you know, that's why he ends up on the news sometimes, because he says things that ticks off the politicians. So anyway, in the interview that he did, this Colbert guy with Judith Shulevitz, she not only admits that she is of the Jewish faith, she also asserts the Sunday Sabbath should be protected by law so that everyone around the world will come together on that day to rest from their labors as well as be with family. That is a direct echo of the Vatican attitude. In November of 2005, for example, the present Pope Ratzinger, a.k.a. Benedict XVI, he stated the following, which when speaking of Sunday observance, and this I take from an address of Pope Benedict XVI to H.E. Mr. Francis Rooney, new ambassador of the United States of America to the Holy See at Saturday, November 12, 2005. And this is what he said. He said, social disorder, war, injustice, and violence can only be countered by renewed appreciation and respect for the universal moral law, Sunday observance. And universal, okay, is an English term that in Latin it's pronounced Catholic. Not only by recognizing that law can the world have dignity, life, and freedom with conditions of justice and peace in all the communities of the world, and that the promotion and defense of this law is what must govern relations between nations and peoples in the pursuit of the common good of the human family with the international community. Now, on my Words of the Beast page, I have many, many, many quotes from the Vatican wherein they repeatedly speak of the necessity of Sunday laws for the good of the family, the worker, as well as the international community. And then on my Sabbath Attack page, I have scores of articles from all around the world wherein we see many political leaders, from presidents to mayors, pushing Sunday laws in their respective regions. And I do believe this is no mistake that a Jewish author was asked to write such a book, just like I feel it's no mistake the Seventh-day Adventist Church has scores of Sunday-keeping churches. The Antichrist needs people that are known for keeping Sabbath to step up in defense in defense of Sunday and defiance of Sabbath. This is something we as students of prophecy have been watching for many years. If you are one that is not aware of the importance of the true biblical Sabbath and don't understand why we consider it to be the prophesied mark of the beast, I suggest you view the following videos on John1429.org to get a crash course in this end time prophecy, just to get a better understanding as to why this is such a big deal among students of prophecies. And for those listening on the radio and on the phone, the three videos I suggest would be Sabbath Justified. This is on John1429.org. Sabbath Justified, Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath, and The Mark of the Beast is About to Be Enforced. However, with The Mark of the Beast, which is about to be enforced, it would be wise to watch the Antichrist video first. Reason being is you won't understand who the beast is unless you understand, with this Mark of the Beast video, unless you know who the Antichrist is. So, now, those of us that do study prophecy understand it will be an easy task to convince most Sunday-keeping Christians to agree with the National Sunday Law and therefore accept the Mark of the Beast, simply because they already look upon Sunday as a true Sabbath anyway. I mean, it's going to, they're going to go, okay, that's a good idea. Because I, over the years when I was trying to share this with people, the last 16 years since Fran and I and the kids started keeping Sabbath, we constantly run across people saying, well, Sunday's a good thing. Yeah, they should make Sunday holy by law. And these are, because they don't see anything wrong in it. And so, the majority of the people that keep Sunday now are not going to have a problem with, going along with the, they're the ones that get it prophetically in the forehead. And I go into a little bit more detail about that, of course, in the Mark of the Beast video. I'm not going to touch on that so much now. So for the most part, the Sunday keepers, they don't read their Bibles, and they choose to follow their leaders as prophecy predicted they would, because, it's the age of convenience. This is his job to do it, so go ahead and you take care of reading the Bibles, and we'll just trust you. And so the cares of this world have become far more important to them than their own salvation. In fact, in another interview with this same author, Judith Shulevitz, I couldn't find this one on video, but I did find a transcript of her, of this actual interview. And she was on the, in the interview, it was maybe a 5-minute interview, but anyway, when they got to the topic of blue laws, and blue laws is what they call in the United States of America, is what Kennedy put in force in 1962, and that's all government agencies are closed on Sundays, and so that's blue laws. And I have no doubt Satan insisted they call it blue because of the obedient factor in prophetic symbolism. Blue means obedience. So anyway, this is what she said when they were on the topic of blue laws. Should we have blue laws, laws to enforce Sunday, even more so than just having government agencies? She said, and I quote, and I don't have the link. Let's see, where is this from? This is from the Atlantic.com website. And so you'd have to just put in Judith Shulevitz. You're sure you'll find this quote, or ask me for the link and I'll email it to you, those of you on the phone. Here in the room, just click that source, the word says source. That'll bring you to it if you need it. So anyway, she says this. It gives you, speaking of the blue laws, she says, it gives you permission to stop. I myself am very obsessive compulsive. I have a very hard time stopping, and I need social pressure and moral reinforcement to feel okay stopping. Let me stop here for a minute, no pun intended. But she says, she's admitting, I am very obsessive compulsive. Does that not sound scripted to you? I mean, who in the right mind is going to admit something like that in an interview? But anyway, she's saying these things because she's being asked to say these things. She's the poster child for Sunday laws, if you will. So she goes on to say that when you say blue laws, you think about store closings, Sunday closing laws. And those are certainly part of what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the right to protect social time. This is how they're going to phrase it now. Okay, this isn't son-in-laws. We, you know, this is, we're protecting you. This is for your good, okay? The right to protect social time, she says. The right to protect time when families get together and communities get together. The right to create some fence around social time. And if anybody goes to Hobby Lobby, check this out. Because I remember when I was getting into, models. Yeah, I was making the models. This is when I was a Sunday keeper, and I was street preaching at the time, and I used to go to Hobby Lobby. Well, it was like a small little store, kind of like Hobby Lobby, but they obviously must be the same people because they had the exact same sign on the door on Sundays saying that they're closed on Sundays to be with their families. This is something that the devil has been using. I would say that I saw that 25 years ago, probably at least 25 years he's been using it, and now you see this has been put on the media big time. So, sadly, a lot of people are like this, though, just like this woman. They don't look to God for guidance at all. They look to man. You know, they're obsessive compulsive. I can't stop myself, and I know God's not going to help me, so let's pass a law so that I can do the right thing here, you know. I can't stand this. Every morning, every Sunday morning, I get up and I want to go out and party hardy, but boy, if there was a law that says I couldn't do this, I'd love that, because I can't stop myself. You know, no control, none whatsoever. So now I do agree, not all people are this dependent on government to dictate their every move, but in this age of convenience, more are leaning in that direction, especially thanks to the way they're playing with the economy. And then now you see in USA alone that 40 million people are on food stamps right now in this country. So yes, there are some that do study their Bibles, but when it comes to certain passages their leaders twist to preach Sunday as Sabbath, they trust their pastor's opinion and never bother to check up on them as the Bereans did, using the biblical method of doctrinal definition laid out by the prophet Isaiah long, long ago, which of course is Isaiah 28 verses 9 and 10 that says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. In other words, if you want to understand a doctrine in the Scripture, find it in a few other areas of the Bible to confirm that which is being said. You can't build a doctrine on one verse, and that's what a lot of people like to try to do today. You know, like, for example, the people that say that it's okay to drink wine because Timothy was told to drink a little wine for a sour stomach. They ignore all the other verses that talk about what that wine is. It's not fermented. And why Timothy's being told to drink it because he had a sour stomach. You know, they don't look at all that. They just look at that one verse, and now they've built a doctrine that says, I can drink wine because the Bible says so. So, yes, there are literally over a billion people out there that will accept national Sunday laws as gospel order simply because their leaders tell them to do so. And Katrina, when that went down, it was easy to see how they were going around saying that you got to listen to these, you have to listen to your leaders because they are ordained of God. They were taking Romans chapter 8 out of context and making people give up their guns and all this other stuff in Katrina. They were trying the waters. They were literally testing the people, and the people were letting them. I mean, what choice did you have? You got this guy with full metal combat gear on, and he's got this, you know, AK-47 stuck in your face. And you got to give up your little .22 caliber Derringer. Like, he's so worried about it. It's just control. They don't care if you've got a wrist rocket, you know, a slingshot. They don't care if you even just have something that piddly. They want to just see you give it over. They want to see you bowing to their control. And so, there are literally over a billion people out there that are going to accept national Sunday laws, just on the Christian end of things. We'll get into the Muslims in a minute and all the other weird, strange religions. I don't want to say weird, but the truth is many of us came from Sunday-keeping churches. And we've witnessed that all these churches refuse to preach prophecy, so it's going to be easy, you know, for these Sunday-keeping churches to accept the Sunday laws because they don't teach prophecy, so they don't know where it's an issue. They think it's the right thing. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 actually proves studying prophecy blesses the people, and the pastor simply cannot risk that, so they don't do it. So this is why there's so many wicked people out there today, their leaders have done as predicted they would in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, where it says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." If you do that long enough, like say, oh, I don't know, 2,000 years, you begin to see what I like to think of as Jerry Springer theology, in that they literally applaud each other in the sins that they're committing. Romans chapter 1 verse 32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." You know, in other words, they know this is sin, you shouldn't do it, because you're going to go to hell if you do. "Not only do the same," you know, in other words, they not only do the same, it says they have pleasure in them that do them. And that's why I call that Jerry Springer theology, because if you've ever seen Jerry Springer, which I, you know, it's a lot tamer today, I would think, than it was when it first came out, because they allowed the fist fights on the screen and all this other stuff. But they, you know, someone says that they come up with this weird lifestyle, everything from having animals involved and all this other weird stuff, and the people applaud them and laugh and clap, and it's like entertainment to them. For 2,000 years, these perverted pastors, priests, and preachers have been slowly but surely corrupting the message of the gospel so that, as prophesied, we would have a society that emulates those in Noah's day, or Lot's day, or even Isaiah's day, like it says in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 9 and 10. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which says, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." The Sunday-keeping churches that do preach prophecy, like Hagee and Jack Van Impe and others that that do exactly as prophecy predicts here in Isaiah, they have perverted the truth so their church members are eating it up because it speaks of smooth things that they want to hear. You know, they want prophesied deceits, you know, like a secret rapture, where all the children in the church, all the people in the church, escape God's wrath. Oh, yeah, preach that to us, pastor. That's a lot better than having to deal with those seven plagues. I mean, seriously. I mean, okay, fine. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're going to have to go through those seven plagues. But, pastor, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear about leaving the planet and everybody else is left behind. We want to hear those smooth things. So prophesy some deceits unto us. They don't literally say those things, but that's their mindset. They don't want to. They're in the state of denial is what they are. So, again, it's going to be an easy task for them to get most of the Sunday-keeping Christians lined up to receive the mark of the beast. But what about the Jews and other religions that don't keep the Sunday Sabbath? Yes, Muslims, Buddhists, and a few other strange religions out there may be a bit difficult to sway towards Sunday-keeping, but it won't be totally impossible since they already embrace many Roman Catholic doctrines. And when I look at how they have this ability now to sway the Jews, it's going to be a piece of cake with the Muslims, because everybody thought there's no way you're going to get the Jews to do this. Because the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Zoroastrians and all, even the voodoo people, they embrace everything from rosary beads to Marian worship in these Vatican contrived faiths. Because that's, you can see the roots of these faiths in the Vatican. I mean, how else do you explain them doing things that was first done in Rome? Yeah, amen. And the Queen of Heaven is common to them all. They all have, you know, that to embrace, if you want to say it. So it's not going to be much of a task to get them to join with Rome, since Rome has led them this far already. They will be conned into seeing Rome as a long-lost mother to them all, but I still have to ask, what about the Jew? They have been keeping the Bible Sabbath for thousands and thousands of years in their own strange way. I mean, they haven't really kept it properly. And so to bow to Rome's demand to keep Sunday holy would seem absolutely impossible for them to do, especially since they detest any religion that declares Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So they fear such religions like this because, like the Seventh-day Adventists and the Roman Catholics that refuse to leave the church because they don't want to admit that they were duped at one time in their life, the Jews won't leave as well. It's because in so doing, they would have to admit that they were duped into staying in the church that killed their Messiah. Admitting you are wrong seems to be really impossible for some people. what their fellow man thinks of them seems far more important than what their creator thinks of them. Like many billions before them, Satan has been able to convince them to serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen? And so it's a really sad state of affairs when you see it, because they can easily step out of danger. Like the SDAs, for example, they can literally get out of that church and be safe and stop worrying about what the guy in the pew next to you is going to think if you leave that church. What's more important, Jesus or the guy next to you? What's more important, the creature next to you or the creator of that creature? Still, prophecy's got to be fulfilled. The Jews will end up keeping Sunday holy just like all the rest. This is why I see no mistake in having a Jewish author pushing Sunday laws in Jerusalem. All people the world over will bow to Rome, with the small exception known as the remnant people. Truth is, thanks to their denial of Christ 2,000 years ago, the Jewish people have all along been moved by Satan deeper and deeper into corruption, wherein even replacing their Sabbath for the Roman Sabbath would not come off as such a big deal for them. I mean, look what Sister White says on page 283 of Desire of Ages. She says, as the Jews departed from God and failed to make the righteousness of Christ their own faith, the Sabbath lost its significance to them. Satan was seeking to exalt himself to draw men away from Christ, and he worked to pervert the Sabbath, because it is the sign of the power of Christ. And so as we can see by this Jewish author, this has happened. It's not just this one woman. I mean, why would they waste millions and millions of dollars to publish a book if there already wasn't a movement going on, which we're going to get into in a minute? Still, the question needs to be asked so as to confirm this to be the case with her. So when Judith Shulevich was asked, do you keep the laws of Sabbath? She responded in this way. She says, I am torn. That is what the book is about. I want to stay modern. I love my modern life and my modern world. It is very hard to give a lot of things up. In other words, God, get on the back burner. I've got my Lexus and my nice house and my jewelry and all the stuff on the front burner. When I saw that video, I knew we all just took a major leap forward in the prophetic end of things. For the Jews to even consider such a thing is a major hurdle for Rome to clear. But how did it all start? Well, like I intimated a minute ago, back in June of 2007, I reported on a bill that was presented to the people in Jerusalem in May of that very same year. Rome has been busy on this one, and in 2007, they started running up on that hurdle quite swiftly, and this is one of the reasons you see a woman like Kagan stepping up to become one in the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Because if she gets in there, there will be no Protestants on the United States of America Supreme Court bench. Not one Protestant. You'll have 6 Roman Catholics and 3 Jews. And now look at this. Roman Catholics and Jews are working together to push Sunday laws. Who'd have thought that was going to happen? So anyway, this article I get from IsraeliNN.com. This is written by a guy named Hillel Findel on May 25th, 2007, almost exactly 3 years ago. And the headline is, Sabbath Sunday Bill Survey Shows Support. And it says, M.K. Zevulun Orlev, I guess that's some guy's name, and NRP is his initials, has announced the findings of a poll showing support amongst Israelis for his proposed legislation making Sunday a day of rest. Now remember, it's not just this author. This is why they didn't spend millions and millions of dollars. Okay? I'm putting little notes here because I'm thinking I'm going to make this into a newsletter. I'm throwing some notes here in my notes. So, Orlev's bill, it goes on to say, would change the official approach to Sabbath as the country's day of rest. Orlev explains, work hours lost to Sunday would be made up largely by increasing the workday on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 9 hours. The poll finds, are you sitting down? Now keep this in mind, this is a poll among Jewish people. The poll finds that 64% of this joint sector supports the new bill. 64%. So again, who in their wildest dreams would ever think that the Jews, the longest known race of Sabbath keepers on the planet, would do such a thing? And this also lends credence to our message. All those people out there that thought there wasn't going to be any Sunday laws, they've got to be thinking twice now when they see Jews doing this. When we look at how this new Sabbath of Jerusalem is laid out, we can see Roman Catholic fingerprints fall all over this thing. For example, places of entertainment and public transportation would still be allowed to do business on their new Sabbath. This is how Rome's always kept their Sabbath, though. So it's nothing more than like make sure you're in church, and then you're free to go out and play afterwards day for them. This wishy-washy Sabbath approach is attractive to many, and as we can see, thanks to satanic manipulation for 2,000 years, it's now attractive to the longest known race of people that have kept Sabbath on planet Earth, the Jews. Even though they weren't the first, anywhere from 1,500 to 2,500 years before a Jew was ever even born, there were Sabbath-keeping people. Adam and Eve were two of them. So back in 2007, a friend of mine that sent this article informed me that when visiting Israel some years ago, he saw how strict Israel once was on Sabbath keeping back then, just 3 years ago. He actually saw a sign posted in his hotel room on the wall. It says, no writing on the Sabbath. Remember I told you they don't really keep the Sabbath the way they should? These are those burdens and those strange laws that they put on man that they themselves couldn't lift. Well, he also noticed all public transportation was stopped on the Sabbath as well. He could, you know, easily see that these people were still more or less ensconced in those, you know, laws of theirs. Even though the public transportation, of course, would mean someone would have to work to drive you around. So yeah, I can agree with that. So, but how could they ever change to Sunday worship like Revelation 13 indicates they're going to? Because all the world's going to do it, not just everybody but the Jews. So, like I said earlier, I guess this will cause a major rethink of all those pastors out there that have stated the Jews would never walk away from their Sabbath and the Muslims will never walk away from their Fridays. Therefore, our prediction as remnant people of God saying that there's going to be global Sunday laws is just nothing but a farce. That can't happen. Can't happen. No way is it ever going to happen. Well, now 64% of the Jews are saying you're wrong. I wonder why none of them contact us to apologize or to seek guidance when stuff like this happens. I remember years and years ago when I was approaching a friend. I said, now, if they ever passed a law in just one state in our country that you had to get a work permit to work on Sundays, would you then believe that this prophecy about Sunday laws has to do with the mark of the beast? And he goes, oh, yeah. The kids remember him. His name was Pat. He rode his bike to the house one day. I'm not going to say his last name, but you guys remember him. Remember when he said that? He said, some of you guys were standing around when he said it. And then in the year 2000, I called him on January 1st. And I said, do you know what just happened in Rhode Island? He goes, no. He says, there's a law in Rhode Island now. You got to have a work permit to work on Sundays. He blew it off. If Jews are this easy to manipulate, Muslims are going to be far easier. Okay? Because, I mean, the Romans have been leading them out, you know, all along anyway. So it's become somewhat easier to see how Rome has been able to do this with the Sunday keepers as well as with the Jews. But what about the Seventh-day Adventist? Well, as I shared earlier, they too have been keeping Sunday holy for quite some time now already. As we speak, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has scores of Sunday-keeping churches on their conference books. Now, I know some of you on the radio may never have heard that before, or on the phone, but it's a fact. If you need the proof, just email me. I will send it. What's worse, most Seventh-day Adventist churches now, all of them, not just the Sunday-keeping ones, do a Sunday sunrise service on Easter Sunday. So how did this happen? Well, it's rather easy. All that was needed was a few Jesuit infiltrators stopping the prophetic sermons, while at the same time most skipped their daily Bible studies to get this, to get to this stage. Because the Bible's plain, you're going to be blessed if you read Revelation. You're going to be blessed if you study Scripture. Jesus said, let the reader take note. You're going to be blessed. Well, if you stop sharing prophecy, especially in the last days, I mean, that's the last thing they want to speak on a pulpit is prophecy. that's the last thing. So, they have stopped preaching prophecy in most SDA churches. And I know this is a fact because as I started to preach the original SDA message online around 10 years ago, dozens of SDAs used to come in to listen proclaiming that they never heard such messages before. And this is why their leaders saw no wrong in stating this, what I'm about to share with you, 10 years ago. 10 years ago. They said in March of 1990 in the Signs of the Times on page 22 and 23, it says, God is glad for us to go to church both days, Saturday and Sunday. He wants us to worship him both days. And you got to check out Brother Rob's newest newsletter that he sent out about this FDA's and the rejecting of the Sabbath when you get a chance. He's got it on his site, and I think he emailed it just about everybody. It's going to be on the SDA apostasy site soon. So anyway, this next one's from A Pause for Peace, What God's Gift of Sabbath Can Mean for You, page 114 by Clifford Goldstein, published by the Pacific Press Publishing Association in 1992, 8 years ago. It says, while the Sabbath commandment has a distinct practical value, the specific day in and of itself doesn't. Really? Thus, keeping any other day could work. Sister White said long ago, in the first centuries, the true Sabbath has been kept by all Christians. Constantine stopped at March 7th, 321 AD. I know all the Christian pastors out there say that, oh no, the Sabbath changed when Jesus died on the cross. Really? Well then how come it wasn't until 321 AD that it was, that people were, you know, passing laws for that effect? I mean, it doesn't seem right. Well, it's not right. Anyway, Sister White says, in the first century, the true Sabbath has been kept by all Christians. They were jealous for the honor of God. Isn't that amazing? A lot of people aren't like that today. They were jealous for the honor of God. And believing that his law is immutable, they zealously guarded the sacredness of its precepts. But with great subtlety, Satan worked through his agents to bring about this subject, his object, that the attention of the people might be called to the Sunday. It was made a festival in honor of the resurrection of Christ. Religious services were held upon it, like sunrise service, Easter Sunday, in all SDA churches. It's no wonder they're now saying that you can go to church any day of the week you want. No, 1 in 7's fine. She finishes it by saying, another step must be taken. The false Sabbath must be exalted to an equality with the true. You know, like saying you can go to church on any other day of the week. The Bishop of Rome conferred on the Sunday the title of the Lord's Day. And that's from Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 55. This movement to embrace Sunday Sabbath has been happening everywhere all around the world. In just the last couple of years, we've been seeing the following headlines pop up. These are by far not all the headlines I have listed online, but they're some of the more blunt in nature. And just on the most recent Sabbath Attack page, I've got another page that has hundreds of articles that I didn't put on here that are even like, I think the one about the in need of a global Sabbath. I didn't put those on there because I didn't want to build a link and all that. I didn't have time. But here's just some of the headlines. I want to read this to you. Just the headlines. High Court reaffirms ban on Sunday shopping. International Organization for Standards decrees Monday is the first day of the week now. Debate in Winnipeg to change Sunday shopping laws. Lord's Day Observance Society flexing in the United Kingdom. South Chicago suburbs revises their 1959 Sunday laws. India media now pushing Sunday Sabbath. India, where it's illegal to be a Christian. They're pushing Sunday Sabbath. Sunday laws in Ohio, the next one. And then the next one says, Christians and Jews joining in global Sabbath movement. France is now talking about Sunday shopping. South Africa Youth League seeks to push Sunday laws. New government website geared to push Sunday laws. That's in the United States of America, by the way. CNN pushing the Sunday Sabbath. And then the last one I have here is minister claims breaking Sunday Sabbath caused the tsunami. again, this is just a fraction of the articles I've listed online, and I'm in no way covering all the articles out there that are on the World Wide Web. I didn't, I just happened across these articles from, time to time. It's not like I'm looking for them. I just look at my regular news sources, and when stuff like this comes up, I put it on the site. So as you may have noticed, in the headlines I just shared, many countries have followed America's lead in pushing for Sunday laws. Is this something we expected? Well, yes, of course it is. Well, if you read your Bible and Spirit of Prophecy. Those of us that study the Spirit of Prophecy know Sister White said long ago in Testimonies, Volume 6, page 18, she says, as America, the land of religious liberty, shall unite with the papacy in forcing the conscience and compelling men to honor the false Sabbath, the people of every other country on the globe will be led to follow her example. And by the way, it is well to remember that on May 29, 1961, the United States of America Supreme Court decision was that Sunday law legislation does not violate the Constitution of the United States in any way, shape, or form. And this is why we ended up seeing them in 62. To this date, that decision has never been officially challenged by anyone, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So, why am I sharing all this? Well, we already know Sunday's the mark of the beast. In fact, the Vatican admits this in writing. If you want to see the quote, just go to box 18 in the room here. And those of you that want to see this quote, just go to my Mark of the Beast Enforced page on the website. You'll see, just look up the word mark. Or no, just look up the word, you hit Control F, and it has a little pop-up, and you just put a word in there that you want. Look up Chancellor. Chancellor. That's the name of, or just Gibbons. Yeah, and then it'll pop up because he's the one that wrote the first quote. So, since we know this is their mark, and prophecy says they will do all they can to create a society wherein Sunday Sabbath becomes the norm so that when they do finally move to enforce it, all the world will follow the beast except that small remnant of God's people. Since we can actually document the fact that this prophecy has been fulfilled for the most part with only a formal decision by a few nations to do as Rome commands, do we really have any valid reason we can hold on to now that we have plenty of time to get busy proclaiming the loud cry? Since Satan has showed his hand so clearly in that he is in fact setting things up for a global Sunday law, and of this we have no doubt, this prophecy is easily seen as 100% accurate. Are we, as the prophesied remnant people, truly doing everything we possibly can for the Lord to spread the present truth message now? In Counsels for the Church, Sister White says this, and I'll end with this. It's on page 64, paragraph 1. Starting there, and I go to paragraph 4. I think maybe one page. It says, the end is near. Stealing upon us stealthily, especially if you don't read your Bibles, because you're really not going to get it. But, of course, I'm not accusing anybody here of doing that. We do know of many people that we love that don't read their Bibles, and they should. Anyway, she says, the end is near, stealing upon us stealthily, imperceptibly, like the noiseless approach of a thief in the night. May the Lord grant that we shall no longer sleep as do others, but that we shall call or that we shall watch and be sober. The truth is soon to triumph gloriously, and all who now choose to be laborers together with God will triumph with it. You know what she means by this gloriously thing here? We're going to start seeing thousands, tens of thousands, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior with one sermon that we preach on a soapbox somewhere. It's going to start, in other words, the latter rain is going to start falling. She says, the time is short. The night soon cometh when no man can work. Because pretty soon it will be illegal to preach what we preach. So this is the time to do it. It's already illegal to talk to homosexuals. So she says, let those who are rejoicing in the light of present truth now make haste to impart the truth to others. The Lord is inquiring, whom shall I send? Those who wish to sacrifice for the truth's sake are now to respond, here am I, Lord, send me. We have done only a small part of the evangelical work that God desires us to do among our neighbors and friends. In every city of our land, there are those who know not the truth. And out in the broad world beyond the seas, there are many new fields in which we must plow the ground and sow the seed. We are on the verge, the very verge of the time of trouble, and perplexities that are scarcely dreamed of are before us. A power from beneath is leading men to war against heaven. Human beings have confederated with satanic agencies to make void the law of God. And by the way, this is when our Father shines the most. Thou hast made void thy law. Work, God. You remember where it says that in the scripture? Now it's the time for the Lord to work. The inhabitants of the world are fast becoming as the inhabitants of the world in Noah's day, who were swept away by the flood and as the inhabitants of Sodom. Who were consumed by fire from heaven. The powers of Satan are at work to keep minds diverted from eternal realities. The enemy has arranged manners to suit his own purposes. Worldly business, sports, the fashions of the day, these things occupy the minds of men and women. Amusements and unprofitable reading spoil the judgment. In the broad road that leads to eternal ruin, there walks a long procession. The world, filled with violence, reveling, and drunkenness, is converting the church. The law of God, the divine standard of righteousness, is declared to be of no effect. And to the truth, it's a doctrine now. It literally is a Christian doctrine now that you don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Are we to wait until the fulfillment of the prophecies of the end before we say anything concerning them? Of what value will our words be then? Shall we wait until God's judgments fall upon the transgressor before we tell him how to avoid them? Where is our faith in the Word of God? Must we see things foretold come to pass before we believe what he has said? In clear, distinct rays of light have come to us. Has come to us. It's kind of, it looks like a typo here. Showing us that the great day of the Lord is near at hand, even at the doors. Let us read and understand before it is too late. Hope and pray you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. Amen, amen.
Not now, but in the coming years. It may be in the better land. We'll read the meaning of our tears, and there sometime we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand. We'll catch the broken thread again, and finish what we here began. Heaven will the mysteries explain, and then we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days, fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand. We'll know why clouds instead of sun were over many a cherished plan. Why song has ceased when scarce begun. 'Tis there some time will understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand why what we long for most of all eludes so oft our eager hand, why hopes are crushed and castles fall. Up there sometime we'll understand, then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand. God knows the way, he holds the key. He guides us with unerring hand. Sometime with tearless eyes we'll see. Yes, there, up there we'll understand. Then trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for he doth hold thy hand. Though dark thy way, still sing and praise. Sometime we'll understand.
Amen. Before we pray, Brother Dick put something in the room earlier that would make people think that read the King James and have a hard time understanding it. He said, it's amazing people complain about the old English in the King James Bible, but they have praise for Shakespeare when it is the exact same old English. Because you ask the people, do you like Shakespeare? You think it's nice to, you know, to read Shakespeare? Is it easy to understand? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, then why do you have a problem with the King James? Amen. It's just an excuse. So if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with this truth that you have given us. Thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list, those that are doing the work, those that want to do the work, and those that help us do the work. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe all throughout this last week we went through, and we were able to gather together again for Sabbath and to worship you. And thank you for keeping us safe in the days ahead. And Father, we have plans, just like any other Christians would have plans. We want to go around and share this truth with many people around the country, if it be your will. And we thank you for, you know, setting things up to where we can do that. And keeping us safe while we're doing it. Father, we lift up all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are in nations that are persecuting the Christians a little bit more so. And then keep us safe, those of us that are here in the States that are about to be dealt with in ways that are not going to be very easy to deal with. But thank you, Father, for letting us be alive in these last days. We need the courage, we need the faith, we need the wisdom, and we need the discernment. We thank you for blessing us in those areas that we need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.